Good morning. I tell you what, every Sunday that we come together, I am reminded of how much I, I need to push that button. I'm reminded of how wonderful it is to be a member of the Highland Hills Church of Christ for nothing other than this. This morning, Denny said, I'm Baptist, but I'm a child of God. What a, you just don't hear that a lot of places. Not that the Baptists aren't a child of God, because I agree with them. But how many places are you going to stand up here and recognize the greatness of God above and beyond our ability to understand Him and even to relate to Him? How many places are you going to go worship God where it's okay to say, you know what, we believe what we believe and we teach what we teach, but you know what, I'm not going to hang my salvation on my ability to understand God. I'm going to allow Him free reign over that. How many places can you be free to experience God? Not to experience our version of God, but to experience God. And how many places are we called on to be that kind of people on a daily basis inside these walls and outside to where, you know what? We believe what we believe. We teach what we teach, and we approach God on the terms that we've been taught. But you know what? We understand that God's children are more than just me and you. And I believe that glorifies God. I believe that our ability to experience God beyond our understanding of God sets us apart. Sets us apart in this community, and it glorifies God. This morning, we're going to continue to talk about the path to maturity. If we're going to do anything this year for the Lord, if we're going to glorify God in any way whatsoever, maturing in Christ has got to be the focus of who we are. If we're going to accomplish anything in His kingdom, we have got to be people who are not just willing to stay how we are and to stay doing what we're doing, but we have got to be people who are willing and able and ready and working towards becoming more and more of God, experiencing more and more of God, understanding more and more of God, and living more and more like God. If we're going to accomplish anything, maturity has got to be a focus of ours. It has to be. Otherwise, we will do what we've always done. We will be who we've always been. And God will not be glorified in that. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. And it's been read this morning already. And we're going to hit some of the high points here as our text. But understanding that we have a mission as the church. We have a mission as the church, and that mission is to grow and to become more and more like Christ, to have more and more of the mind of Christ. And the only way to do that is to mature in Him and to get on the path. We've already talked about, the importance of maturity. We've already talked about what it looks like and how to determine whether or not we are or are not maturing in Christ. Remember that from a couple of weeks ago? Well, there's a process to maturing in Christ. And first of all, the first thing that we have to understand is if we're going to mature in Christ, we have got to look outside of ourselves in order to do that. Now, that's not on your order of worship. That's not on your, there's no fill in the blanks. Here's the reality. If we as a church are going to mature, we as individuals have to mature in Christ. That's just how that works. If we're going to be a productive church, we have to be productive individuals. If we're going to be a loving church, we have to be loving individuals. If we're going to be a studying church, we have to be studying individuals. That's how it is. So if we're going to be a maturing body, we have to be maturing individuals. And the first step to that is looking outside of our own experience, looking outside of ourselves. It's not about me any longer. It's about God. It's not about my feelings. It's not about my comfort. It's not about what I want. It's not about what I like. Any of those things. It's all about the glory of God, period. And as soon as we wrap our minds around that, we can continue down the path of maturity. In 1 Corinthians 2, 6 and following, he said, "We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. We speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that's been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began." He's saying that the difference between those in Christ and those who are maturing and those outside of Christ and those are not is that what makes sense to the maturing in Christ will not make sense to those not maturing in Christ. That's basically what he's telling us right there. He goes on down in verse 10, "The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God." You know, the Bible tells us that deep calls to deep. The psalmist says that God is infinitely deep. God is infinitely vast. He's infinitely whatever it is that he infinitely holy. And that depth, that infinitely God calls us to an equal deepness, an equal depth. And so if we're content where we are, then we are content not to follow Christ. If we're content not to grow, not to mature, not to become deeper in our relationship with God, then we are content not to follow God. He goes on to say this, that we have received the Spirit. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they're spiritually discerned. Saying when you're looking for what it looks like to follow God, don't look for other people to be that example holy. Look for He Himself. Look for Christ. Look for His Word to guide you in all things. The first thing I want to say this morning as we follow this path to maturity, and this is going to be the sermon title for two more weeks, because we're going to go through some specifics, and at the end of today, we're going to talk about what those specifics look like. But we're going to go through some specifics because we like lists and we like patterns here in the Church of Christ. And I'm going to give you one, and I'm going to give you some step-by-step things that we as a people have to do if we want to be on the path to maturity, if we want to truly seek first the kingdom of heaven. The first thing we have to realize is maturity doesn't just happen. We might grow older, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we grow more mature. We might get older, we might get more experienced, we might have all kinds of things that happen to us to where we learn things, but maturity does not just happen. We have to try to get there. We have to try to get to a maturity. We have to understand that if we just continue to experience life and continue to kind of go on down and let it happen to us, then we'll never truly be mature. We'll never truly become deep, and we'll never be called unto the depth of God. We have to try to get there. It's a decision to become mature. It's a choice. It's a decision that we make. It's a conscious effort of our will to mature in Christ, to mature in God, to accept the Spirit, not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God, and to have the depth of God discerned to us. Paul says, "I have learned to be content." In talking of his experiences, in talking of the experiences of his life, he's saying, look, you know, I've been shipwrecked. I've been, beaten. I've been starved. I've been thrown in jail. I've been at the pinnacle of a career. I've had it all. It's been taken, and I've had it all again. I've had support, and then I've had that support taken away. I've seen it all, been there, done that, got the cloak. He says, look, I've been there. I've seen it. And I have learned to be content, whether hungry or well-fed, whether imprisoned or free, whether shipwrecked or safe. I've learned to be content. See, you got to decide that. Otherwise, if we just accept life as it comes, we look a whole lot like that background, don't we? Because as soon as circumstances turn, as soon as things get tough, as soon as things get, as soon as things get good, you know, maybe our countenance is lifted. And then when things are bad again, we're crying. We're oh God, where are you? Where are the, see, how long have we been Christians? How long have we been in this body and we still question God, where are you? We have to learn to be content. Isaiah, in Isaiah 1 and 17 says, learn to do right. As he's, you know, as he's admonishing the children of God, as he's admonishing the nation of Israel, he says, look, you know, you do all of these things that are against the will of God. You chase after these idols. You go and you make alliances with foreign kings and foreign gods, and you do all these things and you practice immorality. He says, turn to God and learn to do right. It's a learned thing to mature, to walk in a Godward direction. In Proverbs 1 and 5, he says, let the wise listen and add to their learning. See, learning is something that does not just happen. So learning is something that we have to try to make happen. We have to try, you know, we have to seek it. You know, as a kid, you know, maybe we're forced to go to school. Oh, we have to get up and we've got to go to school. And there's all of these, you know, there's all of these requirements that are placed on us. And there's all these conditions and there's all of these consequences, good or bad or whatever. And until, you know, then there's a level that we get and we can make that decision whether or not we're going to continue being educated, continue to learn. And then we find out that if we want to make a decision, if we want to make a choice, if we want to, of our own will, choose to continue and to learn, then we get to go on in school. We get to go to higher education. You learn things in higher education that you don't learn in, well, lower education. It's kind of why they call it that. Hopefully, we would learn more about history sitting at the feet of Brother Colvin than we would sitting in Dan's history class. Dan teaches middle school. Fred taught college. You think that there would be a little bit more? I mean, not that, you know, Dan maliciously withholds information. But you see, there's a maturity level. There's a decision that's made. Dan knows that if he goes as deep as Fred's going to, then it's just going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So he holds back a little bit. Doesn't teach as much or as in depth or as specific. You see, but then you make a choice and you go to Fred's class and you learn at a higher level. You see, God's calling us to that higher level. He's calling us to make a decision and to add to our learning, to continually add to that learning. Question is, what do we need to know about spiritual maturity? What do we need to know about, you know, if we're going to take this trip, if we're going to go down this path, and let me tell you something, this is a path that ends only when we hear God call us home. This isn't a path that we walk until we're 40 or 50 or whatever, until we've been a Christian 15 years and then we're there. This is a path, this is a lifestyle choice. It's what it means to seek first the kingdom. See, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, he goes, look, see, you know, don't worry about all these things. Don't worry about this, what you eat, what you wear, da, da, da. He said, but seek first the kingdom. And we pass over that. We say that. Seek first the kingdom. Like, you know, hey, you know, trust God. You know, we say that as though it has a very little consequence on a Tuesday afternoon's decision making. But what it means is seek only the kingdom of God. And everything that you worry about will fade away. So what do we need? So this is a lifestyle choice. This isn't a year-long commitment. This is a lifestyle choice. What do we need to learn about spirituality, spiritual maturity? First things first, spiritual maturity will not come naturally. It will not be something that just happens. But more than that, more than not just happening to us, spiritual maturity will feel wrong at times. The actions that we're called upon to have as we are maturing will make no sense to our flesh and to those who are living in the flesh and those who are outside of Christ or those who are less mature. It just doesn't come natural. The way that God calls us to act and the way that as we spiritually mature, it'll make less and less sense to our flesh and more sense to the Spirit of God. He says in 1 Corinthians 2:6-16 that we can and we need to mature. So even though it doesn't come natural, even though that all of the things, he says, look, the ways of the Spirit, the depth of the Spirit, he says in 1 Corinthians, he says, it's foolishness. Colossians tells us that the message of the cross, the very reality of the cross of Christ is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us, it's the power of salvation. He's saying, look, guys, there's going to be this moment where you realize, what am I doing? What am I doing? My life could be so much easier. All of these things, my bank account could be so much bigger. My experiences could be so much more comfortable. What am I doing? This makes no sense. Keep going that direction. Keep going in that direction. The less sense it makes in our flesh, the more sense it makes in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:6-16, it's a progression. He says, this is what we start out thinking. He says, look, we speak a message of wisdom to the mature. See, we start out thinking and believing and speaking a certain way. And then as we discern, he says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. He's saying, look, there is a way that you start out. And you can't fathom the depth of God. But then he gets on down. He says, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? He goes, well, we might not know the mind of the Lord to instruct him, but we do have the mind of Christ. You see the progression there. He says, this is where you start and this is where you finish. He said, we can and we need to mature. And what did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11? He said, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I acted like a child. I believed as a child. But then there came this day when I became a man. And I put away childish things. And we say to ourselves, okay, well, yeah, I will become. There's this point, I believe, I think, I speak, and all this as a child. And then I just become this man or this woman, this mature being. See, you never get away from the decision. Oh, we'll grow up. We'll grow up. But did you hear what he said? He goes, but will we put away childish things? So, oh, I became a man, but I made a decision. Oh, I grew up and more things were expected of me, and I realized the more things were available to me. And so I made, remember, a conscious decision of the will to put away, to shun, to turn from, to go in a different direction. Put the childish things behind me. See, it doesn't come naturally. It's always a decision. It's always a choice. There's another thing that we need to know about spiritual maturity. And see, that has a purpose. It's not just so that we will know. It's not just so that we will, can lord things over. It's not just so that we can feel better about ourselves. But see, maturity has a purpose in the kingdom because God wants us to be useful to Him. God wants it. There's the Bible is replete with over and over and over again. Jesus tells these stories about people working in the vineyard, working in the kingdom, working on a tower, working on the, there's all this work that's involved. There's work that God wants. You know, there's things that God needs us to accomplish in or wants us to accomplish in His kingdom. He wants us to be useful to Him. You see, being the father of four children, you know, I've experienced many stages, and those of you who have kids, you can, you know, appreciate this. I've experienced stages of parenthood. Stages of parenthood are that when I got to do everything for them, and then there's this glorious time when they get older and they can understand more and they're stronger and they have better balance and they can go. And then instead of me having to do everything for them, then I get to experience them doing some stuff for me. That's nice. That's real nice. When there's things in the kingdom of Hines that just get done, like the grass being mowed or the kitchen being cleaned or the, you know, the younger inhabitants of the kingdom being taken care of. You know, you see what I'm saying? And it was because of the grace and the blessings that have been lavished upon the older and the more mature, then they are a conduit of that grace and that blessing, and they lavish it upon the younger. See how it all works? That's how it is in the kingdom of Hines. How is it in the kingdom of God? Does He have the same purpose for us? Those of us who at some point, maybe those of us who are older, maybe those of us who are more mature, make a decision, a conscious decision to put away childish things. And we began to lavish the grace and the blessings upon those who are younger and even those who are outside the kingdom in order to bring them in. See, God's got a purpose. He wants us to be useful to Him. It's to bring glory to Him in Romans 6, 15 through 18. He tells us, he says, look, well, let's start in verse 15. He says, what then, shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you're slaves to the one whom you obey? Whether you're slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You've been set free from sin. And you've become slaves to righteousness. You see, as we mature in Christ, there's this, as we know more and more of the depth and the breadth and the mind of God, as we have more of the mind of Christ, then we become this slave to righteousness. Now, not a slave being forced outside of his will, but a slave being forced by the taking on of a new will. There's this nature within us that drives us to these things. We all have those, don't we? We all are slaves to things that we choose to be slaves to. We all are. We're slaves to things that we love, slaves to things that we choose to be slaves to. And he's saying, as we mature, we become that very thing to the glory of God. Slaves to a righteousness. Because our will, as we've chosen for our will to be different, our will to be changed, and our mind to be transformed. It's all about bringing glory to God in 1 Corinthians 6. 7 through 8, he says, I would love to address you as spiritual, but I can't. I have to address you as mere men. That's a haunting passage. I would love to address you as spiritual, but I can't. He says, I fed you milk, and that was what you needed then, but you need to move on to the meat. You need to move on to solid food. He said, you know, the way that you act towards one another shows that you're just mere men, not spiritually minded. See, God needs us to mature so that we can become more useful. It says, serve your master to the glory of God. And then there's always, and I don't have this up there, but thinking about opportunities to mature and to be more and more like Christ for the glory of God. There's always 1 Timothy chapter 2. You know, it's a passage that we use as a guideline to who does what and roles of this and that. And it's, you know, it's, I remember Paul saying in 1 Timothy 2, I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but she must learn in quietness and full submission. Da, 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 da. We use that as, you know, you do this, you do this, you can't do this, you can't do that. Okay, I'm not getting into that right now. So, you know, the elders can, okay, thank you. But you know what he's talking about there? The passage in 1 Timothy chapter 2 has less to do with the roles of this person versus that person and what's okay in the kingdom as it has to do with submitting to the glory, to culture for the glory of God. He says there's a purpose to all of this, and your maturity has a purpose, and that purpose is glorifying God. You see, because the Bible tells us that there is, you know, in Christ there's neither male nor female, slave nor free, Greek or Jew, that we're all equal and we're all the same at the foot of the cross, and we can all agree and we can all say amen that we are all equal at the foot of the cross, and because of the cross we can all say amen, correct? We're all equal. But you see, but We've got this world that we have to live in, right? We've got this world that we have to exist in, and in order to do that, there's certain things that we need to do in order to bring glory to God. If I have an absolute right, I mean, I have a right to something, and I deny that right because to the glory of God, what does that look like for God? What does that look like for other people? You mean, I might have a right to something as an American, but I choose, you know what? I'm not gonna exercise that right to the glory of God. That's what he's talking about. He's saying, women, you have this new freedom, but you exist in a culture where women are, where they're not allowed to speak. They're not allowed to speak in public. They're not allowed to do so to the glory of God. So that God does not look, out of order. So that God, to the glory of God, submit to this so that this freedom doesn't overshadow what God's trying to do. That's what he's saying. So to the glory of God. So that's why he says slaves. If you're a slave and you become a Christian and your master's a Christian, don't take advantage of that relationship. So stay a slave to the glory of God. Serve your master as though you're serving God. See, because when we can deny ourselves rights, I mean, that's my right. We deny our rights to the glory of God. How powerful does that make God look? Because, see, God can change our actions. And it works on the other side, too. When there's laws that say you can't do this, well, you know what? To the glory of God, I will, and bring on the consequences. The first, second century, we had a name for that. It was called being a martyr. Can't pray in school. Huh? Yeah, I can. You can't talk about those. Well, sure I can. And I will. We'll take your job. Well, you can. You can take my job, but you can't take my Jesus. You can't take my, well, we'll take this. Well, that's fine. It's called not bowing the knee. And we had a name for that. And it was called being a martyr to the glory of God. But without spiritual maturity, without maturing in God, without understanding that our maturity has a purpose, we'll never get there. We'll never experience that. In the Revelations, he talks about giving up our first love. That's what that means. We give up Christ for comfort. Last thing we need to know about spiritual maturity as we look at the disciplining of, is that God provides everything we need to mature. God provides everything that we need to mature. He says we must practice as fathers and mothers discipline their children. And he says in Hebrews, and he says in John, he says, look, don't shun the God's discipline. He says, look, at some point you have to accept the discipline of God. And it's not in the form of shaking his finger and wagging and saying, do this. It's the form of the spiritual maturity, the spiritual disciplines that he gives us in order to shape us in the image and the likeness of Christ. Because see, like I said in 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3, if we don't, we'll stay babies. We'll stay babies, and we'll have a room full of whining and crying and needy, unproductive, not reproducing babies. That's what will happen. And that's what we'll be, and the church will atrophy. And God will let it happen. See, because the thing about it is that we don't complete God. God wants us to be in His kingdom. God wants us to mature. He wants us to take on the mind of Christ because He wants us to have life. But we don't complete God. The Bible says that He's not served by human hands as though He needs anything. A God incomplete without me is not God at all. We don't complete Him. So We can stay babies and atrophy and die, and to His glory, His uncompromising, holy glory, He will let it happen because He is complete without me. His heart will be broken. But He'll let us atrophy. He'll let us stay immature if that's what we choose. See, because the last thing I've got to say is that we can suffer the pain of discipline or the pain of regret. See, in the first scripture I shared with you, we're going to be slaves to something. We're either going to be slaves to sin or we're going to be slaves to righteousness. See, we're going to be slaves to something. We will either have the life, the spiritual physique that comes natural. We will either have the spiritual experience that comes natural to this world, or we will follow the path of discipline and we will have what God wants for us to have. And I don't know if it translates very well, but there's the image of a real big, giant, fat guy with a real trim guy trying to get out with the six-pack abs and the muscles. And I was going to pose for the inside picture, but I thought, you know what, that might be a little bit. No, I'm more the white part, believe me. Chambliss were here this morning. He could attest to that. He's been there when I was working out at my one time this year, Snap 24/7. It's like 2 weeks ago. I'm just now able to comb my hair. We'll be slaves to something, guys. What will it be? Will we experience what comes natural? Will we experience what just happens on this broken and fallen world? Or will we follow the path that God has established? And we're going to, in the next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about some specific things that we need to be doing. Things like prayer. It's an easy one. We probably do that. But what kind of prayer? Things like study. What kind of study? Things like fasting. Oh, now you're talking Middle Ages. No. Things like choosing solitude. Things like choosing simplicity. Things like submitting to worship as a lifestyle, not as an activity. There's spiritual disciplines that God has given us that if we don't make them part of our daily repertoire, part of our life choices, part of the paradigm that we choose to live by, we will experience what comes naturally spiritually on this world, and it's death. Guys, it's death. But if we choose the path of maturity, not only will we look better, feel better, not only will we have more energy to accomplish the things of God, not only will we be content, not only will we experience a different and better and glorious life here, we will live longer. You see, because being fit physically, well, you know, has the potential to help you live longer, right? Being mature spiritually will live forever. This morning, maybe make a choice. Maybe make a choice to choose the path of spiritual maturity. To say, you know what, no more will I experience what comes natural. No more will I stay who I am and be a mere man or a mere woman. I want the mind of Christ. Maybe it starts with confessing Christ as Lord, being baptized and having His Holy Spirit come into you and just making you all brand new. Whatever it looks like to choose the mind of Christ, to choose to get on this path and to walk this daily life towards more and more spiritual maturity, to understand the depth of God. Whatever you need, let us know as together we stand and as we sing.